You know, it's one of those things, people always enjoy other people, and like, or people who have a sense of humor are usually going to be more popular, I think. And so, and it's one of those things, like, if you have a sense of humor, it makes a lot, it makes people much easier to like you, and you know, people feel relaxed and so on and so on. So I think that makes a lot of sense.
俄罗斯的一家网站呢，最近对500名人才管理人员进行的调查表明，有三分之二的雇主看重幽默感。他们说，如果求职者表现得非常幽默，被录用的概率就会增加。一些人士说，与幽默感的人在一起工作非常的有趣儿。So they would say, you know, not only the first impression is very important, mm-hmm, not also mm-hmm. the work experience is very important, but also if you have a sense of humor, that means you have the ability of resolve a problem.
Sure, sure. And I think so, because, I mean, especially when people are serious, the thing is, like, serious is good sometimes, I think, because it shows maturity. And it, so it shows, like, responsibility and stuff like that. But, like, the thing is, like, with humor, what people do is they're able to solve, like, these cognitive problems, right? Because maybe there's some kind of, there's something going on in your brain, perhaps, or in your mind, where, like, there's one thing says one thing and another says another thing, and then the way you can resolve those two problems, those things that have a kind of tension is through humor. And so you see that happen all the time. Like for example, lots of humor kind of shows us that, it deals with subjects that all aren't always very, accepted in, like, normal day-to-day conversations. But we find them funny because they resolve a kind of tension. Like, people think about it, they want to talk about it, but at the same time, because of social pressure and social expectations, they can't. And so jokes are kind of a way to kind of, you know, release those thoughts and those ideas.
没错，那研究人员还说呢，发现一种新的规律，就是收入越高，越相信开玩笑的魅力。那越爱笑呢，痛苦感也就越少。难怪专家认为，有幽默感的人呢，可以减轻忧郁症和心血管病的这种症状，还可以减轻压力。So if you have a sense of humor that it helps you to release the pain, to heal the wound, and you know, look.And that everything on a bright side.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think it's one of those things, like, optimism really does go a long way. Because, you know, people want to work with and they want to be around someone who's optimistic. They don't really like being around someone who's always negative.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a sense of humor?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Do you?
I think so. Because I'm a very optimistic person.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay, now speaking of friends, you know, some, you know, teenagers have friends, and for adults they also have friends, and also for some children they would have imaginary friends.
Yeah, sure.
Like cartoons.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so what we're looking at here is, it's really kind of funny because I hear some Chinese people talking about how, you know, oh, they're a little bit worried about their children because, you know, they're doing things that aren't, you know, maybe normal, or they're not, like, progressing at, they're not developing at the speed that they should be and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things, like, a lot of that stuff, actually it's very, very natural and actually helps in a lot of ways. And so what we're looking at here is make-believe friends, that is, like, imaginary friends or, like, friends that don't really exist actually can help. Kids when it comes to literacy. And so what they found was that these kids who have, like, these make-believe friends will end up telling stories to their friends and telling adult stories about what their imaginary friends and they have done together. And this can actually really, really help them in the long run.
那新西兰的专家呢，发现很多孩子们有想象中的朋友，也许是动画片里的卡通形象，也许纯粹是出于他们的想象。那专家说呢，孩子们在和这些想象中的人物对话的时候呢，会增加他们的交流的技巧，也就会增加他们的词汇量和表达能力。And the researchers found that the children who played with the make-believe companions had more advanced narrative skills than children who did not engage in this type of play.
Yeah. And so what it is, what they're looking at is, like, these storytelling skills are really, really strong predictor of later reading skill. And so what they found is that these kids who can tell stories well, or rather, like, the stories they tell have a higher quality, you might say. These later on, when it comes time to read and they're learning how to read and stuff, they're actually their reading skill will be higher than those children who did not have imaginary friends. Mm.
The children's language skills were assessed by measuring their vocabulary and their ability to retell a fictional story to puppet, and then a realistic tale based on an outing and a family event.
Yeah.
But children were not found to differ in their vocabulary levels. Those with invisible companions told higher quality stories, those about fictional and real events.
Yeah, and so it's actually really, really interesting here. It's not just that they were able to tell higher quality stories, but also with the kids with the imaginary friends, like when they were telling a non-real story, like a piece of fiction, a fictional story, they would include more dialogue. Whereas with like a more realistic story, they would give more information about time and place, as compared to children without imaginary friends. And this just goes to show, because they've had these imaginary friends, they're actually able to discern what kind of story it is, and therefore, you know, what would make a better story. So, like, with fictional, you want more dialogue, and with, like, a realistic story, you want more details, like, specific times and places and stuff. And so this is really, really interesting, because we're looking at kids, you know, anywhere from, like 5 and a half, right? And so these kids are pretty young, and so it's one of those things, like, how in the world would they know to do this if not just something that's kind of comes naturally out of having these imaginary friends and telling their imaginary friend stories and telling their parents imaginary stories about their imaginary friends.
This storytelling advantage was apparent for children with imaginary friends regardless of their birth order, and they believe that children with imaginary friends may be getting extra practice at telling stories. First, they may be creating stories with their imaginary friends. Second, because their friends are invisible, children may recount their escapades to interest the adults. I think for puppet, for a cat, and the children would think they would be some kind of imaginary friend.
Yeah.
They can understand you.
Yeah. It's really kind of funny because, like, these kids, like, when you see these kids do that, it's actually really, really cute sometimes because they're like, oh, you can't sit there. Well, why can't I sit there? Oh, because Roger's sitting there. Well, wait a second, who's Roger? Roger's my friend. You can't see him? No, I can't see him. Okay, well, Roger says hello. And you say, oh, okay, well, hello, Roger, and then, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's really, really cute when these kids do it,
yeah.
I think.
So do you think every child has the, imaginary friends?
No. I mean, like, according to this study, it kind of shows that not every child does this. Some kids do and some kids don't. And I think a lot of it just has to do with, like, how creative the kid is, I think.
Yeah.
Like, with the greater imagination, I think, the more likely it is that they'll have an imaginary friend. And, of course, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure if we look back at all, like, the creative minds, like the artists and the poets and the writers and stuff, I think we'll see that in their childhood they probably had an imaginary friend, and that's one of the reasons they were so successful in their chosen field.
Okay, so speaking of child, in America, a U.S. boy has set up a video website that specializes in all good news in the world because he thinks today's news is too depressing. And the name of the boy is Max Jones, a 12-year-old schoolboy from Orlando, Florida, has already set up Weekend News Today, for which he is the senior anchor. And he also set a goal of presiding over a network of 15 sites in the future.
Yeah, and so it's actually kind of funny because this 12-year-old boy, obviously he's been reading a lot of news and watching a lot of news, and so he's just kind of decided, well, wait a second, this stuff is just way too depressing, and so why not try to change the world a little bit and, provide positive news, like, instead of just bad news and doom and gloom all the time.
那在美国呢，有一个叫 Max Jones 的十二岁的男孩，他自己呢开了一个网站，一个视频的网站，把所有在每天发生当中的一些好的事情发送到网上。他希望通过这种方式能够使这个世界更加美好。So the website garners up to 5,000 hits a day and has attracted up to 10 interns from across the globe to write and edit videos and written contents.
Yeah, and so like these teen interns are probably in the like the journalism field or like the TV news field or something like that. And so this for them, this is really really good experience, right? Because they can basically make their own news story. They can record it. They can edit it. They can post it and all this other stuff. Mm. And so for them, it's like I think it's a really really good opportunity. But it's really kind of crazy. I mean, like this 12-year-old boy just decides that you know he wants to be a journalist after watching like the Today Show, and which is a very famous news program, morning news program in the States. And so basically what happened was he watched this Today Show and basically turned his bedroom into a TV studio in last December. And so obviously he's quite serious about this. Mm.
Well, he said he really thinks that one person can make a difference in the world, but just bit by bit. And Max just hit upon the idea when he watches the year-end retrospective on the Today Show. And he said, you get so many opportunities with being a journalist, and you get to see so many things the other people would not get to see.
Mm.
And he just wanted to get out there now, and he likes starting things before anybody else. He wanted to get ahead of the game.
Sure, sure. No, it's really kind of interesting, because I think these days we're seeing a lot more kids like this who are just kind of, they hit upon an idea and they get really, really inspired by it, and they just go for it, rather than like waiting until they're, 30 years old to kind of realize their dream. They're doing it now, and I think that's really, really cool, because I think in the end, like, this is actually a pretty big change from what it used to be,
Usually when we talk about, set up a video website, it's like a school boy or a school college girl, college boy will set up this kind of website.
Right.
But a 12-year-old school boy set up this kind of a video website, and he also had a dream of being a journalist, so it's really good for him.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so this is, again, it's just so, so cool to see, like, this kid who decided, I want to change the world a little bit, and I'm going to do that by making my own website and becoming my own journalist.
Mm. So this boy, he yearly spends some 5 hours a week, more in the summer, to record his video segments at home and a computer lab. And this is a young kid who is out there to change the world, and who cares so much about the world, and he's so young, only 12 years old.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, because, again, like, you see these people who are older, maybe 30s or 40s, who don't really care as much, but instead, like, we have this 12-year-old boy who's, like, has so much energy and so much passion that he's willing to go ahead and do this. So.
Okay, and for now, let's move on to today's business. 接下来呢，我们来听听今天的财经资讯。China's direct investment in Africa up 81% in the first half.上半年中国对非洲国家直接投资增长81%。
China's direct investment in Africa rose 81% in the first half year from the same period last year to $552 million, according to a report released by the Ministry of Commerce recently. Trade between China and African countries, however, slumped 30.5% to $37.07 billion in the first 6 months because of the global economic downturn. In the first half year, Chinese enterprises signed $22.45 billion of new labor service contracts in Africa, up 25% year on year, and completed $11.53 billion of business volume, up 61.1% year on year. About 1,000 Chinese enterprises have been approved or registered to do business in Africa, involving fields like trade, manufacturing, resources development, transportation, agriculture, and agricultural products processing, said the ministry.
All right, and that was today's biz news. Now let's move on to Studio Classroom.
Hi, friends. Thanks for joining us here at Studio Classroom today. My name is Steve. Let's get to our lesson about amazing Asian airports. Yesterday, we were in Hong Kong and Singapore. For our next amazing airport, let's fly north to Korea. Before we take off, though, we need to know the adjective phrase, state of the art. State of the art. Our sentence for that reads, that country's high-speed railway is state of the art. Next is the noun departure. Carrie has an early morning departure from Boston tomorrow. Now, we are ready to go. Our lesson continues at the top right-hand column of page 47.
Amazing Asian Airports. Incheon International Airport, Seoul, South Korea. Seoul's 8-year-old Incheon International Airport makes traveling stress-free. With state-of-the-art security, the airport promises that the departure process will take less than 45 minutes. Shorter waiting times mean travelers can enjoy the airport's services. These include a hair salon, a 72-hole golf course, and a children's playroom. Incheon's website suggests activities depending on how long passengers must wait for a flight. For a wait of 4 to 6 hours, the airport recommends the shower and massage services.
Hi friends, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Chip, and you're joining us for our second day in our Places article for this month. We're talking about Asia's amazing airports, which are some of the world's best airports right here in Asia. Yesterday, we talked about the Hong Kong International Airport and also the airport in Singapore named Changi International Airport. And today, we're going to start off by talking about an airport in Seoul.
That's right. And this airport is called Incheon, and it's Incheon International Airport. And it's a fairly new airport. In fact, it's only 8 years old. So, yeah, it's kind of a baby, I guess, when you think of airports, but that's part of what makes it so wonderful because it's so modern and it is so new. So we see here that the 8-year-old Incheon International Airport makes traveling stress-free. Ah, I love to hear that phrase.
Yeah, that's pretty important because traveling can often be very stressful. Very full of rushing from place to place and waiting in lines, and you're not sure if things are going to go smoothly or not. So stress-free traveling sounds pretty good.
Sounds good to me, too. Well, we see here that with state-of-the-art security, the airport promises that the departure process will take less than 45 minutes. Now let's stop for a minute and look at that phrase, state-of-the-art. If something is state-of-the-art, it is kind of at its highest level of development. It's pretty much the best there is of whatever you may be talking about.
And it sounds like this state-of-the-art security makes this an efficient airport where the departure process will only take 45 minutes or less. And the word departure is an important word when we're talking about traveling in airports. The departure is the time, or it's the act of leaving. If you depart from a place, you are leaving a place.
And when you go to an airport, there are a lot of steps you have to take as you go through this departure process. And in some airports, it takes a long time to get from point A to point B. But in this particular airport, the airport itself promises that the departure process will be quick. So shorter waiting times mean travelers can enjoy the airport services. It gives you more time to enjoy all the features and the services of the airport.
And it sounds like this airport has a lot of services. These include a hair salon, so you can get your hair done, a 72-hole golf course, so you can play more than one round of golf, and a children's playroom. This sounds like a pretty fun airport.
It sure does. This sounds like another place where it would be good to have a layover. Even if it's just for a few hours, you could enjoy some of these special features that the airport offers. Now, Incheon's website suggests activities depending on how long passengers must wait for a flight. So if you don't know what to do, get on their website and they will give you some suggestions. They obviously want people to have a good time and a stress-free time.
It sounds like it. So if you're waiting 4 to 6 hours, or maybe if you have a 4 or 6 hour layover, the airport recommends the shower and massage services. So it sounds like you can spend some time in a warm bath, getting clean and relaxed, and also get a good massage.
Wow, I like that idea a lot. Now, Chip, I've been in a lot of airports in the last few years, and one way I like to kill time is just by going to the bookstores and reading a book. But occasionally, I have treated myself to a little bit more of a nicer service that an airport offers, especially if the price is reasonable.
Well, and I am not usually one to pass up a hot shower and a good massage. So, yeah, this sounds like I think I could spend some time at this airport.
Me too. I haven't been to this one yet, but I'll have to put it on my list of places to go.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back from the break. It really is amazing how airports are evolving into miniature cities. Take the Incheon International Airport, for example. If you're ever lucky enough to be flying through Seoul, Korea, and you have the extra time, be sure to try out the airport's 72-hole golf course. And then afterwards, grab a hot shower and massage. Okay. One more airport to go, and we'll need to head back south to Kuala Lumpur. There we'll find the Malaysian concept of what an airport is, and it's strikingly different from the others. Let's look at that keyword concept. The concept of this restaurant is quite unique. I'm sure it will attract a lot of customers. And the last keyword you need to know for today is the noun arrival. Martha's arrival was delayed, so I had to wait an extra hour for her at the airport. Now, let's go to Malaysia. It's on page 48 in your magazines.
Amazing Asian airports. Kuala Lumpur International Airport, Malaysia. The design of Kuala Lumpur International Airport mixes technology and nature. Designers wanted to bring the green space that surrounds the airport inside. So they used the concept, Airport in the Forest, Forest in the Airport. Thus, a large section of rainforest sits in the middle of the international terminal. Waiting times are short, so travelers enjoy smooth arrivals and departures. Luxury shopping and a reflexology center add to the list of benefits. At these exciting airports, the time between flights feels like a vacation in itself.
Welcome back. We have now traveled to the country of Malaysia, and we are going to talk about the Kuala Lumpur International Airport. This is also another very attractive and modern airport, and we hope that you'll take the time to look at the pictures in your magazine, because we also have some great pictures of these airports we've been talking about.
And it sounds like the design or the layout of the Kuala Lumpur International Airport mixes or it combines technology and nature. Now, that's an interesting combination, wouldn't you say, Rachel?
Yes, and I think I know maybe why they do this because, well, we're going to explain it in a minute, but when people can be in a little bit of nature, it just makes them feel more relaxed, right? We all want to feel relaxed, and I think that the designers who designed this airport, they wanted to bring the green space that surrounds the airport inside. So they wanted to bring a little bit of Malaysia, the outside of Malaysia, into the airport.
That's true. Malaysia is a very green country, isn't it? So they're bringing that green jungle into the airport. So they used, the people who designed the airport, used the concept airport in the forest, forest in the airport. Now that is an interesting concept.
It sure is. And let's talk a little bit about that word concept. Concept just refers to a general idea or a thought, or we might say even a notion. So this is kind of a very broad word. When we talk about the concept of something, it usually means the idea of something. So they use the idea of airport in the forest, forest in the airport. They wanted to mix the two together.
And in so doing this, a large section of rainforest sits in the middle of the international terminal. Now, we've got a couple words there that you might not know. That first one is rainforest. A rainforest is a forest that gets a lot of rain. Actually, technically, a rainforest gets over 400 centimeters of rain a year. That's a lot of rain.
Wow. And I guess a lot of Malaysia must be rainforest if they want to bring this idea into the airport. But usually when I think of rainforest, I think of maybe the country of Brazil, because that has a lot of rainforest, and you think of the animals and the rain and the green plants and the snakes and the birds. Well, they bring some of this into the airport, into the international terminal. Now, Chip, what is a terminal?
Well, when we're talking about a terminal in an airport, we're talking about where passengers are getting on and off the planes. So, where they're arriving and departing from. So the international terminal is the part of the airport where you have international passengers getting on and off the planes.
And another bonus of this airport is that waiting times are short. So travelers enjoy smooth arrivals and departures. Anytime waiting times are short, I am a happy person. And I think people want a smooth arrival and departure. Now, we already talked about departure, but what is an arrival?
Well, an arrival is maybe the opposite of the departure. The departure was the act of leaving. An arrival is the act of arriving or coming to the airport.
Exactly. Well, another neat thing about this airport is there's, of course, luxury shopping for those name brands, and there's a reflexology center, which adds to the list of benefits. Wait a minute, a reflexology center? What in the world is that?
Well, reflexology is actually, it's growing in popularity. Reflexology is a therapy in which maybe your hand or foot is massaged or rubbed, and in doing this, it's bringing healing to other parts of your body.
And a lot of people believe in reflexology, so you can get it at the airport. Well, our author has a clever last line for this article, and we read here that at these exciting airports, the time between flights feels like a vacation in itself.
The top four winners in the 2008 World Airport Awards were all from Asia. And so again, congratulations to the people who designed, built, and work in these amazing airports. Okay, tomorrow we are going to ask the expert. It should be an eye-opening discussion about stars and diamonds. Until then, everyone, I want you to have a great day. Bye-bye.
本节目由吉林省空中英语教室杂志社提供，也可登录相关网站收听当日广播教学节目。本节目配套杂志播讲 MP3 在全国各大书店有售，并可在当地邮局订阅。
Alrighty, and that was Studio Classroom, which unfortunately tells us we are at the end of this Tuesday edition of English Evening, but as always,Thank you for joining us, and if you have any questions, feel free to email us at englishevening@cnr.cn.
感谢您收听今晚的英语之夜节目 ,see you tomorrow, bye bye.
北京时间22:59,中央人民广播电台经济之声，让你永远领先一分钟。
Cookie经济学。
欢迎来到 Cookie经济学，今日茶点天气期货。Weather derivatives. 1997年，美国芝加哥期货交易所推出了天气期货产品，交易者靠预测买卖未来的温度赚取差价，商品价格和天气息息相关，冬天冷，取暖燃料就会涨价，夏天凉，空调就卖不出去。天气期货可以帮助企业规避天气风险，有的企业还能从异常天气当中获利。
瑞士天梭表为您报时，传承经典工艺，启迪非凡创意。瑞士天梭表，时间任你穿梭。
北京时间23点整。